We turn now to recreational marijuana, which is legal in 9 states and on the ballot in 2 other states this election. It's a far cry from 2007 when no states had legal recreational weed and almost 800,000 people had been arrested for marijuana possession. Black people were nearly 4 times more likely to be arrested than whites for the same crime, even though the two groups used marijuana at similar rates.
My brother was caught up in that. At 19, he was arrested for 4.5 ounces of cannabis, and he ended up with a 10-year prison sentence. And of those 10 years, 4 of those years were spent picking cotton.
Wanda James is the first Black woman to own a cannabis dispensary in the United States. And for Wanda, her identity and her work are inextricably linked.
We didn't grow up together. My brother grew up, you know, poor in Dallas, Texas. And to find out that my brother had received a felony for cannabis was shocking to me. To find out that my brother picked 100 pounds of cotton a day for 4 years disgusted me to the point of, we have to talk about this. We have to change this. And the only way to change a system sometimes is work it from the inside.
Wanda and her husband own the Simply Pure dispensary in Denver, Colorado, making her part of the 17% of marijuana industry executives who happen to be people of color. She also advocates for more representation in an industry that has a long way to go.
There is lots of lip service about Black and brown people joining the industry. However, let's talk about Colorado for a second. Back in 2009, if you were a nonviolent drug offender, you could not own a cannabis business unless you were 10 years or 15 years, I believe at that time, removed from your felony conviction. Now, if you were an embezzler or a rapist, yeah, welcome. You could come in. If you were arrested for that nonviolent drug offense, we're basically arresting the visionaries. And I like to liken it. Can you imagine if Bill Gates was not able to participate in the internet boom because he started creating, you know, computers in his garage in 1979? Because the people that we cut out of this industry were literally the people that had the know-how how to grow this industry. And they were not allowed in Colorado to be owners. They weren't even allowed in Colorado to be employees if it had been less than 5 years from their conviction. Now, fast forward, everybody is talking about, you know, social justice and how do we get these people involved? How do we, you know, bring on the micro licenses? And all of that is really great, right? Except for now, you need millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars to be able to get into this industry.
17% of executives in the cannabis industry are people of color. You're okay. One of them.
Yep.
What does that feel like?
Lonely. it's interesting how many times I'm in the room and it's 90% white guys, you know, 10% white women and me. And I'll be really honest with you, it's growing tiresome. And it's growing very tiresome when I look at the other side, as we started this conversation, when I sit in a room of people who are trying to get their records expunged, it's 90% Black people and me. I mean, it's amazing that this is what we're seeing. So how do we change that? A, we have to get involved as much as possible. Bloom where you're planted. Get your foot in the door any way that you can, because it's easier to change the system from inside than it is outside. Those of us that are fortunate enough to get licenses, we have to reach back. We've got to be able to bring in people of color to be able to start to train them on either the entry level or bringing them in on the management level so that we can show them, you know, what it is so that they can start making contacts and hopefully find the people that can help them fund businesses as we move forward. And most importantly, we've got to back down law enforcement from the intimidation factor that they have put into communities of color, because we don't trust that we're not going to go to jail. I still get phone calls from family members that think I'm going to go to jail. They're nervous about it because how many Black and brown families have heard before, yes, you're fine, it's legal, but yet you still get demonized for it.
Are you concerned?
Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. And I look at it this way. For me personally, I like to hide in plain sight. I guess I'm not hiding, but I mean, I feel like the more that we talk about it and the more vocal I am about it, the less likely I am to be a a target of law enforcement or of people that want to make an example out of somebody.
And do you really see us being able to reach parity at any point, meaning people of color being able to reach and really get a piece of this industry as it takes off? Or have we already gotten so past that that we're never going to be able to catch up?
This train has left the station so many years ago, but I'm not a fatalist, and I believe that we can catch up. But, you know, the money is so big right now. You know, we're putting in an application in New Jersey, and we're working with Al Harrington, who owns Viola Extracts in Colorado, former NBA ball player. Should we win this license, we're going to have to raise $30 million, $20 to $30 million to be able to open up this facility. That's a tremendous lift. So,
and does that money come from private equity? Does that money come from Silicon Valley? Like, where do you even begin?
Where do you find $30 million?
That's a lot of money. I mean,
that's a ridiculous amount of money, right?
Who are, right. And so, and I ask that because mm-hmm. people of color mm-hmm. traditionally have a more difficult path at accessing yep. those funds.
Well, you know, and that's the crazy part. So where does that money come from? Yes, all the above. And that's the other crazy part. Who's investing in cannabis right now? Hedge funds, countries, Canada. I mean, it's, and so if you're not running in those circles, how do you find those people? You know, I talk to a lot of people in my family, a lot of my friends of color, they don't even know a lawyer in their circle. So, mm-hmm. I mean, on top of the $30 million raise, I mean, you need a cannabis attorney, you need a criminal attorney, you need a business attorney. I mean, people that are talking to you about investing with Series A, and I mean, it's overwhelming what it is that you need to know about this. So once again, I don't want to be a fatalist because yes, I believe that we can, but the big message for everybody is no one person does this. It is a team of people behind every cannabis business out there. You have a team. You have to find someone that knows finance. I don't even talk that language that, you know, finance people speak. You have to find somebody that, you know, knows cultivation, that knows how to market, that knows HR, that knows medical, you know, services. Pull together your team, which once again, it's important to get your foot in the door to be able to meet those people, to be able to start your team.
Wanda James is the first Black woman to own a licensed cannabis dispensary in the United States. Wanda, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me today. This is a good conversation, and it's one that we need to have a lot more often.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.